I'm going to pray. I'm going to get into looking at God's Word. Father God, thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is living and active and speaks to us. And we pray this morning that your Spirit would help us to understand more of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. We certainly have a good bunch of actors at SWAT. Did you understand the skit? There are various groups trying to show why they were worthy to be either the next English Premier League soccer team, or worthy to gain acceptance into the Millionaires Club, or worthy to be the next elite SWAT team. They sounded fairly credible, didn't they? They had some skills there. And then there was Amy saying that she thought that she was good enough for God because she helped get cats out of trees that she'd planted there and helped homeless people by giving them fake money. Very kind. She thought that her good deeds might put her in good stead before God and that he would accept her into heaven. Now, if ever there was a group of people hoping to be good enough for God by their actions and their credentials, it was the Jewish people. Have a look at their impressive list. Next slide says, now, if you call yourself a Jew... Next slide, please, Brendan. Thank you. If you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, and so it goes on. It's a fairly impressive list to be able to boast about and to say, look, you know, we're pretty good. We're where it's at, and we've got a pretty good standing before God because of these things that we do and these things that are a part of our history. And yet the Apostle Paul, who's a writer of this letter to the Romans, is seeking to point out that they've got no head start at all. They've got no advantage over other people when it comes to how they stand before God. So far in the book of Romans, if you're first time here today, we've been looking at the fact that that bad people and so-called good people and even religious people, whoever it is, are all equal before God. They are all equally sinful, they all equally reject God's rule in their lives, and are all equally cut off from relationship with God. And the bad news is that all of us cannot make ourselves right with God. It's impossible for us to fix that relationship ourselves. There is no band-aid big enough that you can put on to make that relationship right. See, Romans 3:10 in the next chapter says, there is no one righteous, not even one. All have turned away. It's a pretty bleak situation. All are equally cut off from God. All equally reject him. And no amount of good deeds or Jewishness or whatever it is you try to do to get into God's good books is going to get you into a relationship with him. Now, in some ways it's a comfort because we all start at the same point. Now, there's kind of an equality about that. But there's also a bleakness and a hopelessness to it, isn't there? But the message of the Bible doesn't end there. The good news about Jesus is actually good news. And the good news is this, that we can be made right with God and come into relationship with him through Jesus. Not on our own doing, but Jesus' doing. All of us are equally distant from God. But all of us have equal access to the forgiveness and relationship with God that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, the Jews are rebuked by Paul for bragging about their relationship to God, thinking that they were above all others because they knew the law. But they were equal, just as the others were, equally sinful. They also thought that they were home and hose with God because they'd been circumcised. They were instructed to be circumcised as a sign that they were chosen by him to be his people. But they'd forgotten how the instruction first came. They were thinking that they were superior and closer to God because they were circumcised. But they had forgotten about how Abraham was told to be circumcised after he had shown faith and been declared righteous before God. See, Romans 4:11 makes that clear to us. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. He is the father of those who have faith, not circumcision. Because circumcision was just an outward sign of the change that had taken place in Abraham's heart back in the Old Testament. He had been declared righteous by his faith, not by his outward sign of circumcision, which came afterwards. Now, it's kind of funny talking about circumcision in some ways, isn't it? But you know what? We most of us probably are not Jewish here, but a lot of us think like Jews still. We still think like Jews. You see, Paul was saying to the Jews in Rome that a real follower of God is someone whose heart has been changed. It was not about the outward signs, but the inward change. The outward signs were just a way to say that inwardly they had been changed. Romans 2, 28 and 29, you can follow it in your Bibles there. I forgot to put it up on the slide. It says, "A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God." The real work that needs to be done is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit of God. But yet, we continue to think like Jews. You see, we love outward signs because they're more tangible and visible, and they're able to be bragged about, and there's something we can feel good about because we've physically done them. Like a lot of people want to get baptized or get their kids baptized or get them done, as it's spoken of, because they think that it will assure them a place in heaven. But it doesn't do anything like that. Baptism is a symbol of our new birth in Christ, our death with Christ, and our resurrection to new life. But unless this is a reality in your life, then baptism has no real meaning. It's the same with the Lord's Supper. Many people take the Lord's Supper ritually as though it's kind of what keeps them topped up in their relationship with God. They might think that if they miss it for a week, then they're going to be somehow more distant from God. But the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us of the foundation of our right relationship with God through the work of his Son on the cross. And unless this truth is real in our experience, then participation in the Lord's Supper is of no use. You see, these outward signs are of no use if the heart is not changed. God knows our hearts, and he knows them better than we do, which is kind of scary. And he looks at them, and he sees that they are not a pretty sight. And God does not miss a thing. Circumcision of the heart is what is needed. A knife to our heart that changes it forever. On Friday night, I had a rare Friday night sitting at home because I was sick and missing kids club and missing youth group. And I actually said to Heather at the end of the night, you know what? I really would have liked to have been there tonight. sometimes nice sitting at home and relaxing, but I really did miss being there. Heather and I were watching a show that we quite like called Death in Paradise. It's set on an island in the Caribbean, where a stiff upper lip English detective inspector Richard Poole is posted to the island St. Marie, and he finds he's in stark contrast to the relaxed Caribbean way of life. But he and his team use their complementary personalities to solve murders. Well, the episode Friday night had them solving a murder at a resort where people go for cosmetic surgery. So you can have all your nips and tucks done in a nice environment of a resort. Sounds like a great idea. As it turns out, there's an identity theft trade going on there, so that guests not only received a new look, but also a new passport. Very convenient. Cosmetic surgery is pretty appealing. Many people want to change their outward appearances. And we often want cosmetic changes in our lives. Outward changes that kind of a bit of an adjustment here and a good deed there and a change of diet and change of habits and perhaps a desire to look after others a bit more than ourselves or a new charity or whatever it might be, but the problem is that the surgical knife is in the wrong place. The changes are starting from the outside first, rather than from the inside. What we really need is a knife to the heart. The only way we can be right before God is with a knife to the heart. We need renewal of what's inside. That's where the radical change needs to happen. If our hearts are not right before God, if we have not been made right with God through Jesus, then none of our outward cosmetic changes are going to change a thing in our standing before God. This whole section, chapters 1 to 3 of Romans, culminates in this kind of glorious finish in Romans 3, 21 to 31, which Elise read to us earlier. And there's a verse in that passage that shows just how it is that this knife work on our hearts actually happens. Now, you might be thinking, okay, so my outward actions are not the way to get right with God, but rather it's my heart that needs working on. But you might also be thinking, you know what, that doesn't sound like very good news. Because working on our hearts sounds a lot harder than changing a few outward actions. I mean, it's hard enough to change a few habits like cutting out chocolate or something incredible like that, let alone try and change some of your ingrained attitudes or desires or the things that are kind of all about you. You might be thinking, Ben, this is not good news so far. I thought you said the message of Jesus was good news, but this just sounds like even harder work. Well, let me tell you the real answer. It's not you who does the heart work. It's God. All you have to do is let him in to do it. You see, let's have a look at this incredible verse from chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." What really needs to happen to us is that our standing before God needs to be put right. That's our real heart issue. We are not in relationship with God. We are cut off from him. And that is because the next verse says, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We fall short. Like those making an appeal to our talk show hosts, they fell short. As we make our appeal before God, we also fall short of God's glory, of his perfection, of his holiness, of his righteousness. We don't measure up to him. We're all in the same boat. Religious, irreligious, good, bad, those titles mean nothing. All have sinned and all have rejected God equally. What we really need is to be put right with God. See, how many movies do you see that are about reconciliation? That's a very common theme, isn't it? So many of our issues have to do with relationships that have broken down at some point. And I think life would be so much easier and less burdensome if those relationships could be restored and there could be forgiveness and dialogue and love put back there in place. So many of our issues have to do with reconciliation and broken relationships. And yet the relationship that matters the most is with the creator of the universe. This is the one we need to be most concerned about. This is where things need to be made right first and foremost. This is the relationship that has eternal consequences. And it's with our relationship with God that requires the work on our hearts more than any other. That is where the knife work needs doing. But oddly, the good news is that we can't do that heart work. It is only God who can do that heart work. The only way we can come into relationship with God is if we are made righteous before him, so that we are fit for relationship with a righteous God. No amount of soccer training or money saving or SWAT team drills or cat helping is going to make us enough to be fit for God. The only way we can have enough of a makeover to be ready for God is if we are made righteous by Jesus. What does that verse say? This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You see, the righteousness that we need to be friends with God comes from him. Yes, righteousness is required to be friends with God, but righteousness is provided by God so that we can be friends with Him. Righteousness is required, but righteousness is provided. It's provided through faith in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus' death on the cross was all that is needed for the forgiveness of your sins, as the Bible says it is, then you receive this righteousness from God. It is a gift to you. You are letting Him into your life. You are saying, yes, I have rejected Him and am sinful and need forgiveness, and know that that can only come through Jesus. That is faith. That is believing. Jesus is your answer to life. Righteousness is required, but righteousness is provided. We need to be made righteous with God, made to be made right with God. We need His knife work on our hearts, but it is God who provides the way for us to be made right and who does this knife work. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to take the burden away from this constant pressure to change, to be a better person, to somehow live up to something or other that we're trying to attain. It's more of a surrender issue than anything else. Are you willing to say that, yes, I am like one of those people looked at in Romans 1 and 2, the good, the bad, the ritualistic, the Jew, the do-gooder, the one who's trying to get to God on my own, whatever it is. And now I realize that it is futile trying to do that because I fall way short of the glory of God. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need God's righteousness as a gift because I can't earn it. I need Him to change me, to do the knife work, because my knife is blunt and useless and tired. Come and experience the saving righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. Amen.